We dedicate our learning Hashem. It's hard to say, but so many months ago. It is almost 5 months ago. And Baruch Hashem, that means we'll be giving shir for 5 months, so that's good. A very positive thing to keep the Torah around. We daven continually for our soldiers. As we know, we lost soldiers yesterday, and we should continue davening for them. Terrorist attacks and things of that nature. And we daven for the hostages and Mirtz Hashem to be freed and for there to be a good resolution to all the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. I have some questions today, as usual, despite it being Laila Lavan. Some very interesting... Question number one, I think, is quite interesting. This comes up in communities, unfortunately. Rezul Hashem has a few of these shilos. Vayakel... Esam, Vayakel reminds us of getting everybody together. And sometimes some of the hardest things to do is to get the entire tzibur together for Shurim of Torah. Especially if you're in an old loser shul and you can't relate to the rabbi. The rabbi is this old guy and he gets up there and he tries to speak to the teens and, you know, he says, in my day, you know, and nobody's interested. So in one community, they decided to get a young whippersnapper, very, very funny rabbi, good looking. And he was giving shirim to the teens, and he was just razzle-dazzle. Everybody loved him. Started giving shir to the adults. And one guy was a tzaddik. He brought him into the community, and he paid for his apartment. He paid his salary, did everything. And there was a big simcha, because the community finally was increasing in Torah. And finally, people from the community realized, wow, we really needed this guy. They don't want to get rid of the rabbi. They just want this new guy to come in. He's going to be the head of whatever, adult education, whatever. And they come to this guy and they say, hey, Tzaddik, thank you so much for what you've done until now. But it's crazy that what you're doing, you don't have to support him. Will the shul, we'll pay for it. We didn't realize how much we needed this person. That's what they say to him. So I know this sounds a little bit funny. So he says, well, thank you for being a tzaddik. Welcome. Thank you for being a tzaddik. I don't want you to pay only for this rabbi for now. Now that you realize that you need him, this was all a setup. Guess what? I want you to pay what I paid already. What is he talking about? So Zoshan explains that there is a Mishnah Berurah here in Hilchos, interestingly enough, Birchos HaShachar, Simon Nun Gimel. Listen to this Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah is commenting on a halacha about a chazan. So we know that in some communities we have to appoint a chazan. We don't have that in our shul. In Eretz Yisrael, probably not as popular. In the great synagogue in Yerushalayim, they have such a thing. But in America, you have a lot of shuls that they have these chazanim that they have to go ahead and pay. We don't, as I said to you, this is not as popular. Yesh moinim, fine. So sometimes we have different people that we pay. Right, and then he says, "Afilu yachid yachol la'akov lomar ani rotzel lifan naichazan imlo." So the Shulchan Aruch discusses that if Tzibur realizes that everybody that gets up to the Amud, they don't have a good voice, or they can't say the words, or whatever it might be, and therefore they want a real chazan. So says the Mishnah Berurah, this doesn't only apply to a chazan. Hu adin bechol hamoinim yachol limchois afilu bechachem marbitz Torah. Right, or Tovis Yeshiva, Dafka, Kishirotze, Lekabel, Acher. Aval im Moicha, Veino Roitze, Veyehia, Marbitz Torah, Bakal, Pshita, She'ein Bimichato Klum. Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah says the following thing. What happens in a case where there is a small amount of the Tzibur that wants it, right? They realize that there's no Torah being learned in the shul. It's terrible. The lights are closed, right? After they have a Mincha Ma'ariv at 5 o'clock. And that's it. 6 o'clock, that's it. It doesn't go on from 6 o'clock until 6 o'clock in the morning the next morning. So the Tzibur realizes. The Mishnah Berurah says that even if a person objects and says, we lived all these years with this rabbi, what do we need a new rabbi for? The community is able to force him to pay, even if it's a minority of a community. Right, so two cases, really, the Mishnah Berurah says. Case number one, where the entire Tzibur realizes we need a guy. We need a guy. We need a guy to give shir. This is what we need. And then what happens? And then the Tzibur
You have a guy who says, what do I need him for? You always have this, right? You have somebody who says, what do I need? Let's say a perfect example, right? Let's say, you have an older person in the shul, in Mishkan Shiloh, and the older person says, my kids are old. My kids are old, right? What do I need? What do I need to hire Hartstein to teach? It doesn't help me at all, right? This is a problem that happens with public schools. Like, why should I pay for public schools? My kids aren't in public school. Okay, it's called taxes. That's what you have to do. You can't write on the box, I'm religious. I don't send my kids. It's the way it is. It's part of the tax, right? What do I need to pay for a youth leader for the shul? I don't have kids who have youth leaders. Why am I, Now, it's true that if I got a call from, who's the guy that runs, do you know who runs the learning on Motzei Shabbos? You know what his name, that guy?
Adam.
No, there's another guy. In our shul, there's somebody that runs it. No. Schreiber? No. Do you know what I'm talking about? Avot Ubanim. Yeah, father. Oh, okay. I was setting you up. And you're like, who? I don't know. Why. Like, I don't know who he is. Okay. So now, let's say he comes to me and he hocks me. And he says, hey, a sponsorship, I don't know, is 200 shekel? Can you sponsor? You haven't sponsored all year. So what would I say if I wanted to be chutzpahdik? What would I say to him? Chutzpah, what are you calling me for? Here I am teaching your son Torah, and you're calling me on the phone. Why is it a chutzpah? I don't have any kids that go to Avot Dabanim. I don't think, and it's not called Avot Dabanim, I think, by the way. We have to be politically correct. Harim v'yeladim. Yeah, okay. No, Avishai, even though Avishai is 12, he prefers watching highlights. Sorry. He's very machmir. He ends Rabbi Notam, and by the time he, anyway, so that would make sense. But in this case, when there's something that's Sibur related, right, that's just a sponsorship. But I can't say, I know that I have to pay every year Dimei Chaver 3,000 shekel. I don't want to pay. I don't want to pay for this and this. How much is that, right? I don't have to be part of the Mishloach Manos. I don't like anybody. I don't want to be part of Mishloach Manos. You can decide that, anything. But I can't say I'm not going to... Fine. This Shabbos in our shul is... what do they call that? Shabbat Kirati. Meet people. Have a kibush. Kibush. So I'm a Mavad, and I didn't sign up for kibush. You know why? Anybody figure out why? I don't want to meet anybody. I don't care. I'm not a nice person. And you know why? I'll tell you really why. I'm afraid if they meet me, they're going to leave the shul. So I'm helping. Anyway, so they're going to leave. So, but the Mishnah Berurah says that in the second case, even if the let's say it's only a minority, 10 people come and say, well, you know what? We need more shurim in the shul. They could be koyfim alatzibor to do that. The Mishnah Berurah says, it would seem, that if I was the recruiter and I did something that the Sibur now admits that we need, retroactively, halachically, it seems from the Mishnah Berurah that I would have to pay for that. Because a minority can force a majority. That's what it seems. However, says Rav Zilberstein the following thing. In our case, the community had a rough. This is a funny thing also. What happens if I brought in, right, you have a rough of the shul. Did you approach the Rav and ask him if he should give shirt? Like, that's not fair. You're asking me now for $10,000 for the guy that was here for 6 months. First of all, I didn't ask you to bring this razzle-dazzle guy. Now that he's here, okay, we'll pay him. But we should pay him retroactively? Who asked you to bring him? So he thinks it's a tzarech iyun. But then he says the following thing. The Midrash in our Parshas Vayakel, introduces the mitzvah of Vayakel, of bringing the tzibur together to listen to shurim. That's what the Midrash tells us. The whole idea of Vayakel, I just was at the Ma'amad, I forget what it's called, I apologize. All the Hesu Yeshivas came today to Karen Biavna, and they had a series of shurim. It was beautiful to see thousands of people like us and all the great Gedolim of the Tzioni Hadati. I just was listening on the radio, Nebuch Lo Aleinu, on my way to Chilin, bothered the heck out of me. And they were saying about there's not one Rav who says that you shouldn't vote for Greenberg. That's what they were saying. En afilu echad. He didn't even say the word charedi. En rav echad. Zel kulam omrim. Like, because we're not, our rabbanim are not rabbanim. Okay, yishkoyach. I was very upset. For that alone, I will not be voting. No. So, and then he quotes the Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin says on daf nun tes, the following thing. A businessman loses their money because they schedule their Shabbos Suda during the Rav Shir.
Again, the Gemara in Gittin writes that businessmen lose money because they schedule Shabbos Shirim during the Rav Shir. Very interesting. The Gemara says in Erevin as well. I'm sorry. The Gemara in Gittin, I made a mistake. The Gemara in Gittin, I can't read my handwriting. The Gemara in Gittin on Daf Lamed Ches says that. And the Gemara in Erevin, that's Daf Nun Tes, says that all Jews would come on Shabbos to hear Shurim. They would go to the yeshiva. Why? Because Shurim are an integral part of Jewish life. Therefore, maybe I did the right thing. Right? It's ki'ilu, says the Gemara in Bava Metzia, that if I planted your field without you knowing, and now I like the fact that you planted my field, I don't have to pay for the field. Right? A guy comes home from a trip, right? What? What daf is that in this? No, that Bava Metzia. Bava Metzia is Kuf Yud Aleph. Amud Aleph. Yeah. Yeah. There's also a case like that. Maybe. Right? Could be. Right? But yeah. So now, what happens? He's using that just as an example. Again, the Gemara tells us, it's actually very interesting, the Gemara in Erevin we just quoted, that it used to be that they all used to come to yeshivas. Right? Imagine, like Karen B'Avna. Just because I was there today, right? Everybody would go to their normal shuls, and then between Mincha Ma'ariv, or a different time, they would actually go to these large yeshivas, and the Rosh Yeshiva would get up once and give a big shir. Would get a big shir. Because that's, first of all, that this doesn't, Rav Zilberman says, I'm saying this, that's the essence of Shabbos. Right? I was just discussing, if you guys remember, I don't know, it's online if you want to go online. We discussed this week on Sunday, we discussed websites on Shabbos. Right, so we gave different reasons. We had three different articles. One was Rav Jackter's beautiful article, Rav Dushkovsky's article, and the third article was the oldest article from the 1970s from Rav Danzig, who was asked about ATM machines and how we would paskin in those days when they just came out, the ATM machines, about them being open on Shabbos. So in discussing vending machines and websites, what did we say? We said that there's one central thing we're nervous about. Zilzul Shabbos. We quoted it even in Mekach U'Memkar, where Rashi adds in Isra that it's not just Ksiva, which the Gemara Meforish says, Medaber Dover, the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. What is your Shabbos looking like? Does it look like a regular week? And I explained then, which I'm explaining now, Shabbos is about going to Shurim. Shabbos is about at the end of Shabbos saying, did I learn more Torah than I do during the week? A lot of times it's the least. What do I say? Oh, this Shabbos was amazing. I slept more than I slept the whole week, altogether, combined. That's not what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about going to Shurim, is about enjoying it. That's what it's supposed to be. That's what they're like mini Yarchikalas, right? And I think it's very important that there are different Shurim. You have to, it happens to be the Shabbos. There are certain things, a question and answer at the rabbi. I mean, not for you guys. I think there's a shir for Noah that Rav, right? Isn't Rav Bagno giving a shir for Noah? I think, right? But it's very important that we have to have our set shir, receive shir on Shabbos. It's very important. So Paskins, Rav Zilberstein, at the end of the day, that maybe the Sibur would be chayiv to pay for him, even though this one guy was the one who thought about it, it would be mother. It's interesting how far you would go with this. Would we say, would we say that, if I brought a guest speaker and I brought Rav Asher Weiss in, and it costs me to bring Rav Asher Weiss in, I don't know, how much do you think Rav Asher Weiss costs? I don't know the answer to this, I'm not making up. Yeah, I just found that out. How much do you think it would cost? How much would you pay for him? Well, he doesn't get it for free. There's nothing for free. There's no free speakers in life. He's always to pay something, like I have to get Coke Zero, right? No. So whatever, let's say, I'm just making up, this is totally made up. Rav Asher Weiss costs $5,000. So now Rav Asher Weiss comes. Everybody loved the shir. The place is packed and everybody's going crazy. Oh, Rav Asher Weiss. And as you're walking out, I say, hey, everybody has to give me $100 because we got to pay for Rav Asher Weiss. Not the same case, but a similar type of idea. Okay. Second case I think is even more interesting because it involves my life. Chas v'shalom, this is something I would never do. I think it's a little bit more lively the case because I think you'll fight with me what the answer would be. Okay. Ma'aseh shaya kachaya Rav Zilberstein.
It's interesting that all of our parashios that talk about the Mishkan, we all talk about Lo Tavru Eish B'chol Moshe Maseichem about, right? So this week's parasha especially, people talk about you have to be careful not to fight. Eish is fighting before Shabbos especially. There's a special Yetzirah that comes that tries to trip you up, especially with your wife, and try to get into a fight with her, try to fight with the kids, you know, why is every Shabbos, you know, and I'm always screaming, Shabbos is starting now, you know, the kids are like, we know what time Shki is, Abba, you're lying, you know, like, okay, fine, just go ahead. I always lie about what time Mincha is all the time, and I'm saying, Mincha's now, like, no, it's not, it's in 7 minutes, okay, fine, whatever, anyway, okay, so, what? Yeah, yeah, so, what's the halacha? Here's the, what happened, Nebuch, lo aleinu, ma'is tashaya kachaya. There is a ufruf. Somebody's getting married, and the person. Let me just make sure. Not that it matters what the case is. The case isn't. Meaning, I can make up the case anyway. It's the answer to the case that's more important. But I think it's the father of the chassan decides to do something fancy schmancy, right? Oh, so this woman, we're going to call her Mrs. Khan, says, making the ufruf, I'm paying for everything. She said, but my son, really, I want you to make a grace, a beautiful meal. The meals, please, there's nothing more important to me that he should be happy. Okay. So now Friday night, the caterer, let's call the caterer six-star caterers, six-star. So they walk into the kitchen and they smell, no, it's fine. They smell, oh my God, is that the chillin? And he opens the chillin, and it smells like a dead cat has been fell inside. It smells terrible. What had happened is he realizes that the meat was spoiled. He put in a frozen piece of meat, it was spoiled. There's going to be no chillin on Shabbos. I don't have to tell you this, Rabbi Yisai. No chillin on Shabbos day. There's nothing worse than that in the world. You could have the greatest, there's no chillin. It's like you're not religious, you know? You go to somebody's house on Shabbos. You go on the Shabbos day, you go to somebody's house and there's no chillin. Question, what's going on over there? What's going on? We have no chillin Shabbos day. It's a terrible thing. Fine. So here's the Shiloh. Here's what happened. I'm sorry to tell you this. The head of six-star caterers says, I don't know what to do. And he hears the woman, Mrs. Khan, screaming in his ear, you better make it the best ufruf ever. And he says, well, let's think halachically. Maybe I could just make the chillin a little bit better. Maybe you'll only meet Darabonan, I'll do Derech Shinoi. And it's going to be pekuach nefesh because she's going to kill me and covet habrios because it's not going to be chillin. He makes up all this stuff and shockingly, a frum person dumps out the chillin pot and literally starts the potatoes, everything. Starts making on job. This is crazy. Meat on Friday night.
It's a real story?
Friday night. It's a real story.
Friday night, like...
It's not going to be ready on time.
Yeah, Friday, yeah. Shabbos started way... Even Rabbeinu Tam says it's Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? Can't pretend he's Satma or something. No, it's going to come out that it's going to be ready. Maybe he turns it on high even. I don't want to say. So now, of course, what do you think happened? Shabbos comes around and the chillin, Rabbeisa, is the best chillin anybody ever tasted. Of course, that's always, right, of course. That's the greatest thing ever. They said, what did you do? What did you do? And it's over. The guy's guilty like anything. Everybody's coming up to him and saying, Shkoya, Shkoya, great chillin, Shkoya, Shkoya, greatest chillin, Shkoya. Shkoyach, greatest chillin ever. He can't take it anymore, and I don't know if he told this to everybody, or he told one person, and word got out, and he says, listen, I got to be honest with you, this is killing me inside. The chillin was so good because I cooked it on Friday night fresh, and it's an usher chillin, like usher mamish, usher, like, there's nothing more usher than this. That's the question number one. It's definitely awesome to do a button. If you no, that's the after Shabbos you can have it. Of course not. If you know, if I come in, one of my employees comes in and he says, don't worry, Hartstein, the rabbi turned the fire on before Shabbos, and this morning I woke up before the rabbi got there, so it's no bishlakum, and I made you a fresh chill, because I know you love chillit, right? Tzadik balayir. And... what's the halacha? Of course you can't have it. Then the shaila is by after Shabbos is the halacha. Whether or not Kadesh Yasa, you could have it. He can have it. He has a kanas on it.
Unless you could say, because you made it bemezi, he's not allowed
to have it. Right. He probably can't have it at all. Right.
So, Rav Zilberstein. Wait, what do you think, first of all? Sorry.
Here's the ending. Now this is how we're going to fight today. The fight's going to be about this. Mrs. Khan comes after Shabbos, and she says, "So, I heard about your cholent." And she's flipping. He was right. Talk about pikuach nevesh. And she takes out a knife, and she's like, wants to kill him. And he's like, "Listen, Mrs. Khan, tachlis though, everybody ate and everybody was happy. Some people weren't happy because they ate, you know, food I cooked on Shabbos. Okay, whatever. But you didn't pay. You only paid half. You have to pay the rest." She's like, wait. "Not only am I not paying you half, I want my entire money back. I thought you were a kosher. You're not a kosher caterer. You're a tarfus caterer." She's, "I don't understand. If the same case happened, and at the end I said, oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you something a little bit important. You know how I told you I was a kosher caterer? No, I'm not. You know the only way I knew how to make the cholent? I didn't. I went online on Shabbos morning. Whatever. Of course that would be usher." Rav Zilberstein, I'm sorry, I'm just going to take a break for a moment because I just used the case this week. Rav Zilberstein had this following case. This is a real case. This really happened. Hard for me to believe. It's probably, of course, when he wants to say something negative, he always says it happens in America. So, whatever. Guy goes up. Can imagine this happening in Mishkan Shiloh, right? The gabbai, the assistant gabbai is right over there. I can imagine that gabbai. I'm not saying any name. He poured me the first cup of soda, tzaddik. So I can't say anything negative about him, but I will. Okay? Let's say this guy. We're not going to mention names, Anta. This guy, let's call him Panto. He calls somebody up for an aliyah, but what's the most important thing? I don't think you know this. You know what's the most important thing in Mishkan Shiloh when you get an aliyah? Mi shebeirich, I would say nu yivareches. Sheyitain? Nu, how much? Fine. So they, who comes in? Wow, fancy schmancy guy comes in. He's a really fancy guy. And he comes into the shul, and they're smart. Right away, the gabbai, Panto, says, "I'm going to give him shlishi." Shlishi is the coveted aliyah. Gives him shlishi, makes him a shebeirich, yivarech, and he asks them out. Fine. After Shabbos, the guy that got the aliyah is so happy, he comes into the shul. Whoa, he's got the checkbook, takes out the checkbook, and he writes, what's it called? Mishkan Shlomo. Did you look outside? Do you see the mistake? I don't know if it's a mistake or not. Should we ask Danto? The sign, it's Siyum. Look at the Siyum. Look what the Siyum says. You got a discount on that? Danto!
Yeah.
Is that a Purim joke, the sign? We're trying to figure it out. Or you got a discount? Okay, anyway, so Panto. Panto gets, it says on it, Mishkan Shlomo, by the way. Anyway, so Mishkan Shlomo. So, maybe. Is that the shul on top of us? The shul on top is Mishkan Shlomo? Mishkan Shlomo is on top of us? Very nice. So what happens? He gets the aliyah, right? And he comes and he gives him the check, I'm sorry. And he writes Mishkan Shiloh this time. And he writes a check for $100. And Panto says, what? It was $1,000 you gave. I didn't give $1,000. What are you talking about? He goes, too bad. You can't prove it. He's like, yes, I can. Goes up to the bima, lifts the bima, and what's in the bima? An MP3 player. Goes, I knew this would happen one day, Panto says. I tape all services. And he goes back. Oh, no, that's research. You hear the guy say, $1,000. You said it. So the guy says, wait, okay, you're right. Give me my check for $100. He rips the check, and he's so happy. He goes, see ya. He goes, what do you mean, see ya? He goes, I thought I was getting an aliyah in an Orthodox shul. Turns out the shul's not a frum shul. Who has a tape recorder? Who's taping me on Shabbos? I'm not giving any money. That was. This is not today's case. That was the case. So they asked, what'd you say? What? You can't daven with the Amen anymore. Is okay, but you can't. I can't take the. Seriously now. I can't take. This actually really happened to me. My son's, I guess it was Yaakov. Yaakov's bar mitzvah was on the grass of the yeshiva. They never allowed bar mitzvahs there. I scammed. I said, come on, please, can I have it? Fine. So I had it there. And after Shabbos, Mr. Naaman, the executive director, says, by the way, I just want to compliment you. You really did a great job cleaning up. It really was amazing. Thank you very much. I go, how do you know? He's like, oh, I'm watching the video now. So as a joke, he says to me, should I send you pictures of your bar mitzvah? That's usher, would be usher on Shabbos. Even though I had, you're not allowed to take, it took pictures. No, it's an emergency, you're allowed to watch it. You're not allowed to regularly get hanah from it. So.
But it recorded it.
You can't use the recording. Here, this is not avtacha. I'm using it specifically because I think someone's going to scam me. You're not allowed to use that on Shabbos.
Wait, you can't change it.
You're correct. You can't use it. Can't get hana from it. No.
There's a short case why live.
Yes.
That one Shabbos work and you just found faint. And they had like a whole whole thing. They took that thing, the heart thing. And
yeah, yeah.
Whatever. Then after Shabbos, in the security cameras, and they saw the whole video. They made a whole thing out of it.
Really? Why? Showing the guy died? What? Happy Purim! No, I don't understand. No. What did they show? What? It saved a life. Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, you're right. I actually know what you're talking about. I think it's a problem. I don't know. I think it's a problem. I'm not a rabbi, but I think
what
it's...
What do you do with that?
What if it's like a not a guy, it's like someone that does...
So, no, it's interesting. Very, very good. So, excellent question. Excellent question. So, you have this a lot where you have, in Uman, for example, I'm sorry to pick on Uman, but in Uman, they have all these videos that come out on Rosh Hashanah. And then they write on the top, taken by a guy. That's highly questionable. You can't hire a guy. Amir Lai says it's typical. It's like the take Amir Lakum. He's doing a Darabanan to Sarach Mitzvah. It's not Sarach Mitzvah. It's Shvus to Makal Mitzvah. It's not Shvus. What mitzvah is there? So he could see me screaming, Nachmani Breslov? No. I don't know. In this case, maybe they got a psak because it's going to be saving other people's lives because Atzalah, or they're getting people to put in this, whatever it's called, defibrillator thing, which we have in our Shul Baruch Hashem, some tzaddik donated. And I think that's very important. Maybe. So let's give the answer here. So I'll just tell you Rav Zilberstein's answer. Rav Zilberstein's answer in this case was very interesting. He doesn't have to pay the $1,000. Ready for this? The shul, though, doesn't have to lose the $1,000. The gabbai who turned, because the shul's are really an Orthodox shul. Who made it into a not from shul? The gabbai. The gabbai has to pay the $1,000. That's what he passed. Very interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we use Lechna Iver Lotei Michchol this week in our shiur that we gave on Sunday. We spoke about maybe if I have a soda machine, this is a terrible story, it's not true. Let's say I have a soda machine in the Merkaz, right? And I know there's some boys in the yeshiva that are not yet firm. So now what happens? I go after Shabbos and I see four sodas were bought on Shabbos. I don't know how I know this. So that's Lefne Evil of Zimnachshol. Ah, you're going to Taina? No, train Nahare. He could have bought it in any other soda machine in the Merkaz. I don't know. Let's say there were six soda machines. Okay, but maybe it's Messiah Avera. That's even worse. So what? So we quoted this. No Dihuda. No Dihuda is talking about Shabbos. I'm sorry. The Rabbi Kiva Eger talks about Maharam Shik. What exactly Messiah Avera is, but not for now. But yeah, Mestama, it would be that. So how do we pass it in our case? We forgot about our case. So Rav Zilberstein says something very fascinating in my humble opinion. Listen to this. Rav Zilberstein says, in our case, first of all, he marshals the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says the following case. What happens if, again, you have to listen carefully because we have a number of shlavim until we get to the answer. We have to see each of them. So the Gemara says on Daf Lamed Zayin the following case. What if I shechted an animal and I sold all the meat? And then the rabbi calls me, and the rabbi says, remember that cow that you brought yesterday? Remember? I switched the cows. I made a mistake, and I told so-and-so that his cow was a trefa. It was yours that was a trefa. All your meat is treif. Says the halacha that you would have to refund everybody's money. Anybody that sold, they have to bring it back, even though I sold it to them already, and I thought it was kosher. I didn't do anything wrong. The halacha says, Gemara in, I said brachos, I'm sorry, Bechairis, says that you would have to give back anybody's money. Ah, but comes along the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat and says the following thing, that if a person sold his friend food that is forbidden based on the Torah, and its true status is only discovered after you eat it, so now I don't have the food. So now I can't even give it back to you. I can't even sell it now to a guy. So now what's the halacha? If it was only discovered after he ate it, the seller has to return all the money paid. However, if it was a dirabanan, then I don't return it. Very interesting. Why? Because midaraisa, I didn't do anything wrong, right? It was a malachas asuras that's not an isa daraisa. That becomes a very interesting question. And here comes the very interesting part of the Machlekes. The Sma, the Sefer Meiris Anayim, says here on this Shulchan Aruch Hoshe Mishpat that there's two explanations for the difference if it's Derabban or not. One, there's a penalty for refunding money only in a case where I ate it already. I didn't do anything wrong. The guy that ate it didn't do anything wrong, and we're assuming the person who sold it to me, he didn't know about this, Isser. Right, they didn't eat it. Yeah, that again, we're taking it a level down. And now what if you ate it? If it was only an Isser Midrabanan, if the rabbi says, oh, by the way, the treifa was only an Isser Midrabanan, so then I don't have to pay him back. He ate it, he didn't do a sin. You understand how we're getting now to our case, right? But number two, he said, maybe one has no pleasure from eating something that's usser. Even though physically he didn't know and he was eating a steak and he thought it was the greatest thing ever. But it is not real because he violated the Torah. He's pained by the fact he ate it. He may even consider putting his finger down his mouth, even though that doesn't halachically do anything. And therefore, you're asking me to pay for it, adding insult to injury? But it's midrabanan, so he's not so, okay, wasn't so bad. The same rabbanan who assered this was the one who made the mistake and matered it in the beginning, as you remember. So it's not so bad, right? Two different reasons of the sma, very, very interesting. Comes along the Nesivos HaMishpat a few weeks ago. We quoted Nesivos HaMishpat itself, a very important commentary in Chosha Mishpat, and shows how these points would lead to a different outcome in food that was mevatel, right? We have batel b'shishim, batel b'zeh. Since then, that would be a totally different case. In that case, we would allow the final product to be permitted. We have certain cases, which sounds crazy. I actually once remember Rabbi Soloski telling this amazing case where something like a very little small amount, let's say of milk, went into a meat thing, and the Rabbi Soloski said it's mutter, and the woman said she doesn't want to eat it. So Rabbi Soloski said, "Give it to me, I'll eat it, and show you that it's mutter." It's not that you shouldn't be machmir on yourself. So halachically, says in the Sivus, there are certain times where it's mutter. However, what if the batel was iser mi de oraisa? So, what would we say in that case? Accordingly, the penalty would still be that the seller, it's usser. But
the seller have to pay.
But if it's batel b'shishim, it doesn't matter if it's usser mi de oraisa or mi de rabbanan. It doesn't matter if it's batel, it's batel. So nothing, I've done nothing wrong. So that would matter according to the Sma's two different explanations. Okay, one step further. The Nesivos HaMishpat, another important commentary on the Shulchan Aruch Hoshe Mishpat, writes that if one accidentally ate a food that was Asur Midrabanan, he doesn't have to do tshuva. Why? It's as if he ate meat that was totally kosher. Because the rabbi said, you can't have it, but it's not actually usser, right? This is a very big question. This happens, right? This happened in different situations. Again, if it was totally not kosher, there was a case in Muncie where people were eating mama's treif meat. That's it as a deraisa. I can't do anything about that. But if it turns out that he put in a mixture but it was batel, whatever it was, it's only mitzvah derabanan, there's no tshuva he even has to do for the case. That's what he says according to this. Oh, so now we can now apply it to our case. Yes.
Although this happened at some point, I forgot, where in America, a man was selling meat.
Yeah.
Kosher, at least, actual trade.
Yeah.
For years.
Yeah.
So those buyers, did they get their money back?
Yeah, halachically, if it was an Isser D'oraisa, he was selling mamish non-kosher meat, that would be an Isser D'oraisa. Technically, they would be able to get his money back, you know. Halachically, I don't know if legally they probably would have the same recourse. You know, it's like going to a credit card company. You know, you can't go to a credit card company and say this purchase, you know, I just had something with a credit card. My daughter bought something. She went to go pick it up after paying for it, and the place closed down. She went into a place in Yerushalayim, and there was nothing there anymore. She got scammed. So I called the credit card company. They're like, okay, but I can't go a year later and say, you know. So I guess it would depend on that. Okay, so let's summarize and then give our answer. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that the Isser of Hana, this is exactly what we're all talking about. Getting Hana from Chilul Shabbos is only mid the Rabbanon. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskins. Nachon. There's an Issur D'Rabbanan. One second, you have to hear the whole case. The Mishnah Berurah adds that although one may not benefit from the actual product that was produced on the Chilul Shabbos, you can benefit from the money that was obtained for the sale of the product. So it's not fully mutter, but if that money was used, this becomes a question, like you said, about somebody's Mechal Shabbos.
Like, what about the sale of the Chilul?
Correct. Again, assuming I did an Isser, that's going back to my case of Zilzal Shabbos, right? If I technically, what's wrong with me videoing you on Shabbos? I'm not doing any malacha. I put up a video camera here, and after Shabbos, I want to watch. I heard there's a Tefillah Chagigit, and I have to be away. I can't believe it. I'm going to be away. I don't want to watch the Tefillah Chagigit. I've technically not violated anything. You want to call it Zilzal Shabbos, Shkoyach. You want to call it Medaber Dover, Shkoyach. There's no real Isser. I mean, I'm sure Moshe Sternberg, somebody would disagree with me, but
are you allowed to watch it tonight?
No, for sure. No, for sure. Again, along the same lines, what am I doing if I let's say I'm not going to say what I was about to say. Let's just say I had a Yetzirah and I turned the TV. I didn't turn the TV on, right? I had a Yetzirah and I walked past. I don't know. We're in Ramat Beit Shemesh. That's never what happened, right? I walked past a store and the TV's on. And I'm so bored at Shabbos. I'm bored. But what do? I sit next to the TV until the end of Shabbos and I watch it. Wait, did I violate something really? The TV was on? Not really. It's Zilzal Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. You can say everything you want. That's not the same case over here.
What if it is Shabbos? I'm watching
no.
this video of a
shiur. No. Sir. No. At Zilzal Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. Good question. You walk by and the Chabad forgot to shut off the Yechiyah Adonai video and you want to watch the Rebbe saying whatever. No, that would be asur to do. Again, that's the assumption. It's called Zilzal Shabbos. Medaber Dover, what we spoke about before. So the Shulchan Aruch, again, the Mishnah Berurah. Therefore, since eating the Chilul Shabbos Cholent on Shabbos is only asur, you have to just give me 1 minute to explain what I'm about to say, is only asur midurabanan, and the guests obviously didn't know about it. They ate it by mistake. It would seem that the caterer is entitled to collect all of the money. As the Nesi of Samishos writes, because they didn't do a sin. They didn't do anything wrong. Assuming this is a Durabana. So they ate the heter. They thought it was delicious. Don't worry about it. They don't have to do any tshuva. However, on the other hand, according to what the Sma says in our first reason, if you remember before, that the rabbis penalized the seller for forbidden food, is an Isser, becomes an Isser Torah, and therefore he has to refund the money. Since the caterer is Mechal Shabbos Midoraisa, it is possible that the same penalty applies and that he has to pay the full amount to them because it was prepared being Mechal Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah would permit benefiting from money that was received from the product, but that's in a case referring to a case where there no refund was requested. He can actually get hanah from it. Finally, what's the halacha? According to the second reason of the Sma, he said the following. One who eats food that's prohibited by Torah law is disgusted because he violated Torah laws. And we said before, I didn't even want to eat the food. So therefore, Mrs. Khan did not violate any Torah law, and therefore, she should have to pay. And then he says, but, and this is it. But, however, it would seem that the entire discussion of the poskim regarding paying for the food was only if it was permitted midirabanan, is food that had no Torah prohibition. However, food that is prepared by being Mechal Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos, would be Usr, not only midirabanan, it would be an Issa Daraisa, and it is therefore considered to be disgusting to anybody who had the food, and therefore we don't even go with the second reason of the Sma. And we say that in this case, she would not have to pay anything, and this would be, This would be upheld in a Jewish court because it creates an Isser Derabanan as well. I'm sorry, the Isser Derabanan creates an Isser Daraisa because it's so repulsive to me. Mistama, I don't know, from the beginning I thought he definitely violated Daraisa here. They didn't violate anything.
Why did he violate Daraisa?
Because he cooked on Shabbos, mid Daraisa.
So she doesn't need to pay, but she also gets her money back?
Yeah. The Rav Zilberstein Paskins, it's not only that she doesn't have to pay half. She could ask for the entire money back
Because, again, it's very interesting just to think about what happened here. This is a much different case, in my humble opinion, than the other cases we're talking about. Why? Because they did eat things beheter. Let's assume we trust this guy. All the other food he made was done beheter. So, I don't know what you want to call it. 75%, 90% of the food was okay. Yes, I think that we're... And he doesn't address this, and I think this is the most important point, right? Do we say that they're repulsed by the food, and by them being repulsed from the food, it creates what? And is there... Why? They're repulsed by the food, but the 90, whatever percent, let's say 75. 70% of the food that they ate was beheter, was mutter.
Why was it mutter?
The 75% of the food was made before Shabbos and was heated up on a plata, everything was done amazing.
Right, but the second that he makes the chon...
The 25% makes everything usher? Yes, halakhically it doesn't.
There's no kashrus.
This is an interesting question. This is an interesting question in halakha. No, it's not. I would agree with you, but I don't agree with you. That's not what happened over here. That would be correct. It was only the burger. But that's not what's happening here. All the other food halachi was. Are we going to say that? Let me ask you a question. Wait.
You wouldn't have the hashgacha the second that he asked.
Okay, where the mashgiach is in this whole case, I don't know. That's enough. They weren't under the OU. I can tell you that much. But I have a further question. The question would be as follows. I'm telling you this as a caterer, so I'm no gay of a duffer. Okay? What if somebody comes to me after the bar mitzvah and they say to me, you know what? We didn't like this and that. And I say to them, you know what? You're right. Let's take the real case. Let's say the case before he was Bechal Shabbos. What 5-star caterers would have done. We're sorry. You're 100% right. We didn't serve the chillin because it was spoiled. So the guy says, okay, I want all my money back. Would any normal court or based in give him all of his money back? It was a busha that we didn't have chon. Yishkoyach. He's going to get something back. But nobody would say he gets 100% back.
Don't care about the chon.
Right. I'm saying, so why here?
He didn't get enough.
Right. So why here? But we said before, when a person gets enough, why here? It was derabanan. For sure. But you're saying to me he's not a nemon anymore. Okay, but tachlis. Okay, but he, but tachlis, the food was kosher, except for 25%, whatever that percent that you want to be. I don't know. I apologize to be asking on Rizal Bershon.
The whole kid, the second that you and the whole thing, you
I don't think he.
Then he comes to him. Oh, I'm sorry. The whole meal is like they're like thinking. Oh, what if he?
The halacha that we quoted about being repulsed, according to the Sma, right? Was it the Sma? What was what? The repulsed part. That was when you knew the food was usser. That's the usser food. That's the repulsed part. Yeah, that's the second Sma. That's not happening over here. Most of the food was fine.
It could be that he let himself on Shabbos cooking he let himself because could be he didn't pass it.
Okay, maybe again. I'm making an assumption. I just don't know the answer. Again, Rav Silberstein will often say, "Don't ask a question on a Maisa." Okay, Shkoyach. But I don't understand the Maisa so much because I don't understand why she would be entitled to the full money back. By the way, let's assume. Even a better case, there was a Friday night here. There was a Friday night. So Friday night, everything went amazing. It was only Shabbos day where there was a problem. So even you want to tiny up to only pay 50% of it, you're saying, but the whole thing was bad once they found that it was a trade caterer. I don't know. You break something in a store, you don't have to pay for the whole store, you pay for that one item. I don't know. I have to leave this, but Sarach Iyun Gadol.